Following communicator is Emmy Harding Britton. It was received at the public demonstration of the opening of the York Lodge Reading Spiritualist Church on the 8th of October, 1966. The medium was Leslie Flint.
Come along, friends.
God bless you all.
Oh. Hello.
Hello.
Mrs. Britton.
I cannot tell you. Words in themselves are so inadequate to depict or describe so much that we feel on such an occasion as this. So much can be said, of course, and so much, no doubt, has already been said. But I do feel so intensely that on this wonderful occasion, when you have achieved so much through so much effort, that words cannot convey what I feel or what any of us feels on this side of life. We know the many difficulties that you had to contend with to bring this beautiful building into being, and to know that it is truly dedicated in loving service to humanity, to all peoples, irrespective of color, class, or creed, to the universal truth of eternal spirit. All who come into this building, knowing that it is truly a house dedicated to service, in which they can be in touch with the eternal spirit, that their dear ones whom they have loved and still love can bridge the gulf between our world and yours, be able to have the comfort and the joy of true communion, to know that death is not the end, but truly the beginning of a fuller and a greater and more joyous life. To know that you have made possible this wonderful contact between our world and yours, a place in which people can gather together from both sides to become truly as one people. We know the great effort and the work that you've done, that you've had to put in to make this a reality. And we thank you. But I know that as I thank you, you do not ask for our thanks. You only ask greater opportunity to serve God and to serve his children. It is your sincerity of purpose and your love that has made this possible today. And all those dear souls who gather together in true harmony and in true brotherhood, this is your thanks. This is truly your reward, if you needed a reward. And as I come, as indeed we all come and join you on this happy, happy occasion, we say to each one of you, those of you who are already fully aware of this truth, and those who are only, as it were, on the fringe, I say to each one of you, make this church truly a living place. Let it be so filled with the spirit that you give, apart from the spirit that we give, that we may be truly joined in true brotherhood, that we may bring together into this town, indeed, wherever those who gather, that they may truly know that this is of God. You have a great and wonderful opportunity of service here in this town. I know that there are many of you who have worked for many years to bring this into being, and there are those of you who are only on the fringe, and there are those, no doubt, who are skeptical and uncertain and unsure, and those who doubt and are full of fear. But I say to each one of you, if only you will endeavor to the best of your ability to bring forth by your very thoughts and actions those conditions whereby we can come closer to you, we can build a bridge between us that will be a revelation to all who see and all who listen, and they shall truly see the work of God and truly know the things that are of the Spirit. There is no death, only that which seems so. The death that you create by your thoughts when you close us out of your thinking, close us out of your lives. We are all around and about you in your daily lives, helping you, often unknown, but nevertheless we are there, trying to impress you, to guide you, to inspire you, to uplift you, to endeavor as best we can to give you the truth as we know it and as we see it. All religions are based on life beyond the grave. If it were not so, there would be no need for religion as such. And we who come to you from this side, we give to you in our own fashion, in our own way, our own evidence and our own proof of life eternal. We bring you our love as we knew it on earth and more so as we know it in spirit. We bring you a great and wonderful truth that will uplift you and make each one of you better men and better women, bringing you together in true brotherliness and true understanding, taking away the fear that is all around and about you. At no time in man's history has man needed this truth more. All around you you see the results of man's intolerance, man's hatred and malice. You see the fear that man has created in the hearts of all men everywhere. You live in an age in which the needs are many and the power of the Spirit can and will sustain you. Each one of you here can do so much to help us, to help many who dwell in darkness and materialism. We bring the freedom and the truth of the Spirit. We come that you might be lifted up, that you might see and know of these things that are truly of God. My dear friends, I bless you. Each one of us here from Spirit bless you. Bless you in your hopes and in your endeavors. In your difficult times, we are there beside you. We tread the same path as you. We have more vision, more knowledge, more experience, and I think a greater and a deeper love and understanding. But we shall not fail you, each one of you, who gives yourselves fully and truly to us. That you only desire to be with us, to work with us, to serve with us. I can only speak for my innermost soul and the souls of all those dear friends who gather round me, for whom I am but a mouthpiece. I say to you, each one, you have achieved a great deal in erecting this edifice. May it ever resound to the triumphant call of the Spirit. May it call you to greater service and greater endeavor. And we thank you for your efforts, and we bless you. But I say again and again, make it truly a house of the Spirit in the fullest sense. Let the teachings of the Spirit go forth, that all who listen may truly know of God's will and purpose for them in their daily lives. And may the comfort that you can give comfort those who mourn, those who are lonely and sad, and especially those whose needs are many and great, the sick and the suffering, and all those who have so much need. Let us serve them with you and through you. Truly I say unto you, go forth knowing that you are strengthened by the power and the love of the Spirit. The Spirit that raised this church shall raise each one of you to great heights, that truly you shall see the wonders and the joys of the Spirit that eventually shall be yours forever. But in the meantime, during your earthly strivings, strive always for that which is highest and noblest and of the best. Know that you are truly, while yet on earth, spirits in embryo, spirits while yet encased in physical flesh, with all the spiritual possibilities and attributes dormant within you. Truly you can become spiritual beings while yet on earth. We bless you, and again we say thank you. But we know you do not need our thanks. But we say again, thank you for all you have done. for all the efforts that you have made, for all that you hope to do. Truly your path is blessed, my friend. May God be with you, as I know he will, as in truly the power of the Spirit is, never shall be, ever with you. Goodbye.
God bless you, Mr. Bradshaw.
The following direct voice tape recording is that of Mrs. Emma Hardinge Britton, one of the old pioneers of spiritualism. This was recorded on the 23rd of June, 1969. Medium, Mr. Leslie Flint, the sitters being Mr. S.G. Woods and Mrs. B. Green, both of 11 Elm Road, Worthing, Sussex, England.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, Missy.
Nice weather you're having, aren't you?
Oh, we don't mind that, Missy. We're used to it. Don't mind a bit, Missy.
Yes, Auntie?
If it's possible and convenient, we don't always ask, you know, we don't usually ask for people, but that gentleman who came to me the other day, Mr. John Grant, he gave such a wonderful talk that we were wondering if he could...
Oh, he was so very pessimistic, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't. Well,
he was.
Well, it'll continue, one thing
like that. Oh, I don't know.
There's no way if you can do that. There's no way if you can.
What
did
you say?
Amazes me how they all seem to find their way. As if it were a light in the darkness. As is indeed it is.
Yes.
When you have your sessions, it is in a kind of way like a light shining in the darkness of your world. It is a ray which seems to draw and attract innumerable souls towards you. Some who are near the earth, of course, earthbound. Often souls who are in need of help, and of course those from other spheres, some of course who are known to you, who come at regular intervals, and then of course the guides of the instrument, whose task it is to prepare the way for certain individuals who have something of importance or interest to convey. But it is an extraordinary sight. If it were possible for you to witness the manifestation of power that emanates all around and about you when you sit. Some of them, of course, come to you in your homes and are conversant with your thoughts and the work that you're doing, and in consequence, when you come here, endeavor to be present. They may not speak. Perhaps in some instances they have no particular desire to speak themselves. But they come with love, with a desire to assist and to help some particular soul who has been chosen to speak, in a sense, for them all. And of course there are diverse conditions. And these conditions must from time to time affect the results that you receive. But nevertheless, when the channel is clear, when the way is found suitable for a communicator to make himself or herself, as the case may be, felt, when they can assert their personality and can make themselves audible and are able to clarify their thoughts, transmitting so much of themselves to you, then you receive what you must feel, obviously, is a good contact. But of course there are many people in your world who are inclined to jump to conclusions, who are inclined to be dissatisfied if the channel isn't clear, if the communication isn't perhaps as they would wish. And there are those who dismiss quite casually the efforts that are made by souls with good intent and purpose in their desire and hope to be of service. There are those in your world who have little or nothing to offer themselves, either in the way of mediumship as such, or in knowledge or experience of these things, who, unless it fits in with their preconceived ideas or notions, are inclined to turn aside and scoff, even when perhaps a great effort has been made by some soul on this side to break down the barrier between our world and yours. We realize that we are often, as it were, knocking our heads against the proverbial brick wall. But what makes it, of course, sometimes very distressing is that when all the work and all the effort that has gone into a particular session or communication, that it is not always received in the spirit in which it is given. We do not suggest or indeed anticipate that every individual who listens to the voice of the spirit shall accept it completely and wholly. In the beginning, they themselves, quite rightly, have their own free individual attitude of mind and approach, and they are free to accept or discard. But there are some, particularly, that we find very distressing, inasmuch that they have knowledge and some experience. And yet, if it does not fall in with that which they hold, their own personal aspect of truth, put it like that, they are only too ready to turn aside and even ridicule. If a person in your world is anxious for truth, they will realize very quickly that no one person or no one organization or no one particular guide, for that matter, has the whole truth. Every individual has an aspect of truth, which in itself is true enough. But there are limitations set by many conflicting conditions and complexities of communication alone, on different wavelengths, as it were, or various conditions of thought force, so that you will have aspects of truth sometimes at variance one with another. But this does not alter the fact that as one links with the spirit, you must thereby have, according to one's own self and one's own personality, according to one's own aspiration, aspects of truth, varying in degree, And that which we find very distressing is that there are so many in your world who profess to be called spiritualists, who perhaps have spent many years of study and have rightly their own views, as everyone must, but who nevertheless have closed their minds to any other aspect of truth, any other communication that may come through some other source different to their own. And you have this pettiness, this foolishness, which even sometimes amounts to jealousy, to such an extent that instead of the movement of spiritualism progressing as it should, wholeheartedly, cooperatively, spiritually combined, yet on levels of differing thought, on levels perhaps of differing aspect, yet nevertheless working in harmony, you have this disharmony. You have this appalling aspect which causes many people on the fringe of spiritualism who are searching sincerely to be put off, who say, quite rightly, if this is spiritualism, if this person is a propagandist for this great truth, as they call it, if this person is an example, then I'm not at all impressed. And many people are put off in consequence. We do not ask, we do not expect that everyone should agree. I think that would be very stupid and would show very clearly that progress as such would be impossible. Until there is, in a sense, a form of disagreement, but in a harmonious sense, People on different levels must have their own aspects. This is accepted and understood, the same as we on this side, on our different variation of condition or aspect of realization according to our evolution or lack of it, on the different wavelengths and vibrations that we come, there must be these different stratas of consciousness and therefore different aspects of knowledge. But what we do find so appalling is, in the spiritualist movement today, and this is nothing new, it does not only apply, of course, to spiritualism, but it applies to all religious organizations and bodies, and indeed in all walks of life. This, we know, to some extent is unavoidable, but we do find very distressing this realization of spiritualists disagreeing to such an extent that instead of forwarding truth, they are holding it back. There are those who listen to your tapes and are impressed. And then they want to learn a little more. And of course, naturally and rightly, those who hear want to have the experience themselves. The tapes have a great value and a great use. They start people off thinking. And, of course, eventually, many of the people concerned want the actual experience for themselves. Personal experience is the only proof, the only real proof, that will give conviction. This, I think, is so important. But what is a tragedy that so many spiritualists, who should know better, try to warn others off, or try to make some excuse, or try to find another answer. Indeed, they use many ulterior, sometimes, methods of undoing the good that is being done and has been done in the past, and try to discredit the source or the mediumship or the work that's being done by people such as yourselves. Whether we should ever alter this situation, one cannot say. Perhaps it is that while human beings are human beings, there will always be this problem. But it is sad, it is tragic, that so much that could have been done is undone by the very people who should be supporting, who should be aiding, who should be doing everything in their power to forwarding this truth. There's so much woolly talk among mediums and spiritualists generally. There are so many woolly mediums who, because they close their eyes, assume they are mediums. There's a great deal of vaporing going on. And so many things are accredited to the spirit, which are merely the figments of fertile minds. And oftentimes people were anxious to be considered what they are not. We are having to battle against this also. There are innumerable people in the spiritualist movement who are not mediums, but who consider themselves as such and are accepted, unfortunately, as such by often people whom one would have given more credit for their intelligence. And the lack of it, the intelligence in the spiritualist movement at times, causes us great concern. We do not ask you to accept everything that comes as gospel. We ask you to use your common sense, but more important, to use your uncommon sense. In other words, we ask you to try to realize that there must be, because of the very nature of communications, sometimes discrepancies, because of the manifold difficulties of communication. But this method of communication, which is by every degree so much more advanced, so much more reliable, than the vaporings of so many of these foolish people who give forth so much that when analyzed means little or nothing at all and can oftentimes be traced back to their own minds, subconscious or otherwise. We are giving to you, as best we can, a direct communication which is by far and away superior to any other communication in your world. But you will have to stand the affrontage of all sorts of peoples and all sorts of minds, petty and otherwise. We will do all we can to help you. We shall bring from time to time all manner of people to you. But there will be difficulties. These must be expected, and you know of them. But when you receive a good communication, when you record it and send it out, you can be well assured that it will be seed sown on good ground. Here and there, it will fall on the stony ground of minds oft-times opposed to truth in a fuller sense. And those who are afeard, those who have their own personal axe to grind, these people who oftentimes are outside of what you term spiritualism, in various religious organizations and bodies, whose minds are closed and prejudiced, perhaps from this quarter we must expect opposition. And it is natural. But what appalls us more than anything is the fact that there are so many who in their own small way are doing good work, oftentimes, but who are, it seems to me, deliberately trying to bar any knowledge from any other source but their own, and who, if they cannot find fault with that which we give in this way, make remarks one to the other to try to discredit. This we find appalling. And there are individuals who resent, unfortunately, the work that you are doing, that we are doing with you and through you. And oft times they are instruments themselves of a kind, in some shape or form. And it is an extraordinary thing how they resent this work that we do. But we must not allow this attitude of mind and foolishness of heart stop us from going forward. Truly it is so that he who would truly serve must be called upon to carry the heaviest cross. That we sow the seeds of righteousness and truth, this is all that matters. That we do that which we are called upon to do, and we do it with a good heart, knowing that we truly do the work of the Most High, that truly we are the servants of the Most High, that we spread where'er we go this truth, that all shall be made free, and that all shall find the true path. We must all stress more and more the need for cooperation, the need for loving understanding and true brotherhood among men. Truly greater than ourselves, we are but the servants of a greater power. Go forward and know that we are with you always. May God bless you.
May we have your name, friend?
My name is Emma Harding Britton.
I thought you were.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Mickey.